With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Hammond High Podcast. I'm Andre Longley, and this week we have something a little bit different. On May the 21st, we held Hammond High, our community's mental health, a day of online events around wellbeing. We'll be releasing some of the sessions in the coming weeks, and we start with a really fun discussion around comedy. Joining me were stand-ups Charlie George and Rich Wilson, Tash Alexander from the social enterprise Head Held High, and comedy star in the making, Roe Dodgson. I hope you enjoyed this one as much as I did. Let me introduce Charlie George. Charlie, hello. Charlie's a stand-up comedian and is co-host of the podcast Happiness and How to Get It. How are you doing today?
I'm okay, thank you. I did actually want to call that podcast Despair and How to Release Its Death Grip, but apparently that's not a viable option for Audible, so they said no to that. But yeah, I'm all right. I'm going to be really honest. I found out something this week that I wanted to share on this panel, that's apparently the most common lie people say is I'm fine when they're not. So I'm kind of more sort of okay and ready for like a big bear hug from people that I need to see. That's where I'm at right now.
Well, thank you for your honesty. We'll look out for honesty from the others. We'll move next to the next stand-up comedian who maybe would be the person to do a big bear hug. Rich Wilson is a stand-up comedian and host of the Insane in the Membrane podcast. Rich, are you there?
Hi, how you doing? This is the thing, isn't it? You're so right, Charlie, with that. Our go-to is like, yeah, I'm fine. Because you don't want to make a fuss because we're so used to that. But yeah, I think all of us could do with just one big squeeze. We just want to just squeeze. We're very sociable. We're animals fundamentally. So we need that contact and we've not had it for so long. So I think I'm the same. I'm like, I'm all right. I could do with a cuddle. Yeah. I think I think
that's going to be a common feeling. And actually, yeah, Something that came up earlier today was the second question. We have got into the habit of asking people how they are, but the second question can be, are you really okay? I mean, how are you really? It's a fair question to ask. Anyway, let's get on to our third panelist for now. So our third panelist is Tash Alexander of Head Held High, which is a social enterprise. It runs a course called Stand Up For Yourself. Tash, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Hello, everyone. I'm sending you a virtual bear hug right now. So hopefully you'll all be receiving the vibes through the screen. I've just actually finished running a comedy course with Islington residents online just now. We're a social enterprise. We run interactive motivational projects and programs to help encourage people become the best versions of themselves. And our comedy course, Stand Up For Yourself, we've been running it for years, but definitely during lockdown and the last year, we've really seen how beneficial it has been for participants. We've been working with young teenagers. We've been working in collaboration with Mind and adults with mental health issues. And it's all obviously been such a challenging time for everyone, and to bring out the funny in your life really helps you reveal the bigger person and not be dominated by our outer circumstances, our environment, even our emotional state. So it's been a really, really powerful, quite emotional course to run over the last year. It's been a gift that we've won some funding to do this, and I've got young Ro, who I shouldn't say is my star pupil, but Ro is a bit of a gem. quite unforgettable. And Ro did our stand-up course face-to-face during the first lockdown. I remember there was quite a heat wave, and we had a group of teenagers, maybe 6 to 8 young guys doing the course at quite a tricky time, but managing to pull out the funny. And yeah, Ro said they'd come along and share a little bit of your experience and a little bit of stand-up, but I don't want to jump the gun. I don't know if we're ready for that yet, but that's what we do, is to really help people bring out their confidence and motivation during challenging times.
No, that sounds like it, the right moment for it. Ro, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. I'm definitely a better version of myself since meeting Tash. I think fine is definitely overrated and would very much like to join in with this bear hug that we're all having. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
All invited. Ro, so the course was beneficial, I take it.
Yeah, very. I don't know what to say. It was freeing because I didn't know how to talk about a lot of the things that I ended up talking about. And being with people, it was hilarious, and it was a metamorphosis, I'd say.
I mean, your journey's been quite unique. Sorry, I'll just butt in. I mean, Rose not had an easy time, and when the comedy course started, it did come at quite a interesting time in your life, didn't it? And you could have easily sort of said no to it.
Yeah, I could have done. So I was just coming out of a mental health crisis, actually, and trying to move forward and put it behind me, as far as you can.
Well, that sounds good that it's helped. So, Charlie, you've talked about mental health before. How have you found the last year?
Well, thanks for sharing that, Ro, because I think it's a big deal, isn't it, to talk about like how you've really coped with stuff. I mean, I've never spent so much time being so still and inward looking, and I didn't realize what a mess it was in there. A lot of tidying that needs to be done, and I've sort of really expertly buried all of my trauma and feelings and being really busy and active all of the time, and like the pace of life and the stresses of life, and there's always something to be doing and worrying about that you don't really get any reflection time. And so I think there was a lot of that for me that was quite scary. And I think it was Blaise Pascal who once said that all of humanity's problems stem from their inability to be alone in a room with themselves. And I think if you add Zoom into that mix, and like it's even worse. It's like I never thought what was missing from a conversation was like a live feed of my face. I mean, that's what's happening now, and I'm finding it quite intense. Like that's like a next level of self-reflection. So yeah, it's been quite a reflective time, and like that's given me a chance to look at some of the things that I was doing before that were quite unhelpful. So I probably came to stand-up comedy after quite a lot of a challenging time in my life too, and I think it can often be pain that brings people to new beginnings. And so I hadn't really had much time to reflect on the journey before. And so I think that stillness has been really good for that, of kind of recognizing, oh, wow, like stopping and looking around at what you've done, and then kind of maybe being a bit more conscious about what you want to do next, and maybe be slightly less busy, like cancel plans and read a book. That's where I'm at.
And I think for a lot of us, that was the experience, wasn't it? But then after a while, you have a bit too much stillness and you get out the other end and actually, I just want to move a bit. What about you, Rich? Has it been a similar experience?
It's been, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, I've been a comedian for 17 years, and I was going to be at the Soho Theatre. It was a big thing. Everything I'd worked towards, all the sacrifices I'd made, it was a big moment. You know, I'm a van driver from Kent, and now I'm playing the Soho Theatre. And so it was this big thing. And then everything I'd worked for went in 20 minutes, like this one email after the other. And I just sort of sat and felt I was strangely zen about it at the beginning. I'm like, well, it can't be helped. It's not personal. Everybody's now this. We all got thrust into this strange world where we were like, oh, right, okay, well, we better get some toilet roll then, and we better get some bread. And it felt like suddenly it was really daunting and weird, and people did come together in a way that they hadn't done before. And it did shine a light, like Charlie said, on what I put too much effort into it. I was too busy. And I, you know, I put 80,000 miles on my car in 2.5 years. Like that's what we did.
Mm.
Suddenly, when it all went away, you go, it suddenly made you reassess and you go, oh, actually, I do need to be taking care of myself a bit more. And people, we need to be talking a bit more. Like at the beginning, we talked about, like when you say something, are you all right? And you go, yeah, I'm fine. But we don't really know how to tell each other how we're really feeling. And we don't really know how to receive the information. So if someone does say, actually, I'm really struggling, and I'm actually, I've had some thoughts that, you know, I don't really want to be here anymore. And we don't, we've not been taught how to do this. So suddenly all we've got is time and each other. And so we've all been learning how to communicate again. It's been quite enlightening, really, that, you know, it's all very well saying, are you really okay? But actually being ready to receive the information is also something that we've picked up this year. It's been, I'm definitely not the person I was before March 2020.
That's interesting. Yeah. And it's especially what you do specifically with the podcast, with Insane at the Membrane, it is having that conversation and inviting that opening up, isn't it?
I mean, this is the question that I've had people on, because I have guests on, not necessarily comedians, but I want to talk to people. I want to talk to women about what it actually means to be a woman, what it feels like to be a woman, like the changes. Like we don't have these conversations. Men don't really have them. We understand periods. We know what it is, but we don't really understand what goes on like that. Because it's not just a few days. It's not just a week. It's a constant cycle that I've never really been told about. And so, but I have people on the podcast that it's a safe space for me to ask questions and say, what does it feel like to be a woman? What does it feel like to be trans? Like what goes on? And people talk to me about what it's like to be a man as well. And it's, you know, you can't ask these things on Twitter. You'll get set on fire and booted out into the street.
Rich, can I just say, because I love what you're saying, and I think one of the big things I've been learning about in all of my reading my books, is I think there was this little animation video that I watched that was so amazing about, because I've had a lot of friends go through difficult stuff, and I also hide. Like when I'm having a hard time, what I do is I hide because I feel ashamed. And I think I should come back out when I'm having a positive time again. And I was like, well, how on earth do we help people when they're in the moment of having a hard time? Because that's the bit that feels like the hardest to sit with. And there was this lovely little animation about how, like, when someone's in the hole, you don't go in and sort of tell them, you know, everything's going to be fine, don't worry about it, or it's not as bad as someone else. Like, you don't start fixing. You sort of try and just be there with them and say, oh, that's really rubbish, but I'm here. And I think kind of, can we learn to be with that discomfort and negative feelings and also have the bravery? I mean, I've been ringing some friends and been like, actually, I really need to talk to someone because I've been working from home and I'm like so isolated. I haven't spoken to anyone in ages. Like, and being more honest about that.
Mm. Yeah, that's it. It's because sometimes you think, oh, how can I put it across how I'm really feeling? But sometimes you've just got to just do it with the tools that you have. So you don't have to put it across in a certain way. It doesn't have to sound like a doctor saying it. You just got to go, I feel really shit, to be honest. I'm feeling really crap. And I don't know why. I think it's because I'm on my own. You know that? It's that. Just use the vocabulary that you have. And people will respond to it in a way that I've done it a few times, especially because I sound like a bloke. I'm a geezer, and people, I always project that, oh, I'm all right, I'm fine, I can get on with it. So it's really hard when I did turn around and say, I'm actually really struggling with this. I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to tell you. Suddenly, I had other men saying to me, "Yeah, I feel the same. I feel the same." And it was clunky, but it opened things up. So I think it doesn't matter how you do it. It's just as long as you do it, and you'll be surprised at the outcome, I think.
And yeah. Tash, is this presumably what you do on these courses?
Yeah. I mean, I'm echoing everything that you've said, and it's making me think, you know, we've never experienced anything collectively like this. So, you know, as a foundation, whatever challenges you've had through this time, it's like we're all experiencing the same foundation. Exactly what you're saying, you know, to open up, it's pushed us to be truthful and to connect with each other. I know my friend said to me, you know, she was sick of phoning people. She started sending postcards, and that little postcard that somebody received, it brightened up their day. way. I know when you finally saw somebody face to face, it felt like, you know, an amazing experience within your day. Yeah, I mean, I found, especially running the comedy course, when we ran it with Adults from Mind, and I was struggling. And what this sort of work does is it pushes you to bring out your bigger self of, come on, you know, Tash, you've got it in you. Like all of us, I think, you know, we spent so much time on our own. It's probably the first time that we spend this amount of time on our own, you know, looking, sorting out the clothes drawer, never being so bored of what you, you know, what you wear, and just think, I just want to buy one new thing. But I remember this comedy course, you know, people having really serious issues, whether somebody had sort of chronic fatigue, somebody else had sort of financial problems, but they were getting on that Zoom for 2 hours a week, and we were managing to have a laugh, and it just brightened up their day. And we were all in it together. It wasn't like I was coming there and going, right, I'm full of beans. I mean, I know that when you give to other people, that is the biggest joy, I think, you know. Just like, you know, Charlie, through your stand-up, it's like when you connect with another person and you make their, you make them laugh, you know, both of you, it's like you're raising their life state. So being in that position always pushed me just to be my bigger self and feel a bit better just by connecting with the others. But we were really, yeah, all in the same boat together, but just with different challenges. So to find that laughter was just a gift to all of us.
And you can come as you are, right? Like that's been one of the nice things about Zoom gigs, that like they have their challenges. But there were times where I realized, oh, actually, there's a lot of people who might not come to a gig for accessibility reasons who were able to be in their living room and to show me their pets, which I was deeply grateful for. I met a lot of bunnies. I met some dogs, a couple of parakeets. Like there was great things going on in people's living rooms. And it felt really intimate. Like definitely there were times where it was exposing. Do I wish that I tidied my room a bit more before I went on Zoom? Yes. But mainly it was just like really nice to feel like that sense of connection when you can't gather. And I think that's something that this time really made me realize is like, I think kind of what you were saying, Rich, of like, I've been putting so much energy into the work part of my life, which I think a lot of us feel pressured to do for financial reasons, obviously. And I'd forgotten that actually all the things that I missed were like just being with other people. Like that really helped my mind a lot. Like,
Definitely.
The simple shared laughter is such an important thing, isn't it? I mean, I assume it's why we do it, that if you can be in a room or a group or just two of you sharing a laugh, it washes some things away.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ro, was that something, getting the laugh, was that something you found as a kind of therapeutic thing?
Yes, when it happened. It was very good.
It did happen.
Well, there's one. You mentioned, Rich, you mentioned before, I mean, Zoom, as you say, and Charlie has been great. It's been great for some things. But you must also miss the audience, the kind of physical presence of the audience. And Rich, you were talking about you were going to be doing Soho Theatre and that. How have you found without that audience right there?
You just find another way of, it was daunting to start with when the Zoom gig started up. And I remember the first one, so there wasn't any feedback whatsoever. You're just talking to your laptop. And then you did the gig, and then you go, all right, thanks, bye. And you shut your laptop, and then you're still in your lounge. And you feel, you don't know what you've done. You feel weird. But then it started to get better, and there were audience members there, so you get a bit of feedback and things. But I taught people in general how to talk to a camera. I think a lot of us... I get more voice notes now from people than I used to ever get. Nobody used to do that, you know. And now, you know, I don't like talking on the phone. I'm like, my phone is function only. So I'm like, just if someone rings, you know, if someone rings, you're like, what are you ringing me for? Just text me and I'll meet you.
Yeah.
Don't ring me and say, how are you? Because that's weird. But now we're used to this. And like Charlie said, we've forgotten that there was a whole bunch of people out there that didn't have access to live shows. They didn't have access to going out. They suddenly felt included in something. They suddenly had access. Like we were getting beamed into their homes. And I've seen a lot of comedians now. They're going, oh, no more Zoom gigs. Zoom gigs is done. You're like, no. We've now tapped into something. And those people that felt part of us again, they're now feeling like they're getting shut out again. So I feel that Zoom gigs now, or online gigs, are now going to be part, live stream stuff is definitely now going to be part of something that we do. and have to do. It really has opened our eyes to that sort of thing. But it's made me, I did a gig at the Bill Murray last week, and there was, I didn't have any audience whatsoever. There was not even people. They were downstairs manning the tech. So I had a camera. I didn't really know where that was. And I'm in a big room in the dark, just talking. And I don't know what I did. There was no feedback. There's no, it wasn't until afterwards, and people messaged me, mate, oh my God, whoa. I'm like, I was a man from Kent just talking in a dark room. And it was,
and that's okay. That's
yeah, okay. I mean, it's really strange, isn't it? Because I think I did that gig as well, and I did one as well, which was like a live stream where it wasn't a Zoom, and it just went out. I think it went out to NHS workers, like, and they could watch it between stuff, and it was really fun to do. But because I used to work in the NHS, and it was nice to do for stuff, but like you literally were just on a stream link, so like you couldn't see anyone, and so I was just kind of like, how on earth am I going to give it some welly? Do you know what I mean? Like, I've got little act outs and stuff I'm doing, and I've never felt more insane. Like, I was just kind of like really emphatically yelling in my room, but I kind of learned how to give it the same welly that I would if they were there. And sometimes I have to be honest, this is the cheeky bit of me that's like kind of always wanted to be released from the formalities of communication and just be able to just do what I want and not worry about it. So it was kind of good in that sense too. And I hope that some online stuff of people's tours stays, because what we had was international audiences too, people from around the world staying up late and watching you from another country. So that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you talk about the formalities of communication with that, with the starting an email, like it was, I hope you're well. And then it was trying to find new ways of doing that. And in the end, we didn't even bother. We're just like, it just became like emails became like just a text. It's like, we got this, we'll do that. Instead of like, hi, I hope this email finds you well. You know, it was just all that. I think this whole thing has really shone a light on what's necessary and what isn't anymore.
It was interesting early on that, because I went to a fair few of the early gigs, nice and spiky ones, which I think you might have both done at some point. And it was interesting because there's a different skill, isn't there? And there's a different, you could see in the early ones, it's a lot of uncertainty and people started working out the tricks of the trade that, of course, have been developed on stage for 50 years or whatever. But this is such a new thing. So, for example, both Charlie and Rich, you're sitting a lot closer to the camera than pretty much anybody else I've had on panels today. And I don't know if that's conscious, but you're kind of aware of a bigger presence. So it's a big thing. The other thing that strikes me is that one of the big successes in culture this year has been Taskmaster becoming mainstream, or moving from Dave and putting stand-up and comedy front and centre. Is there anything else that, aside from that, that anybody's seen, Charlie, that has really made you laugh or stand up?
I've got to be honest, I haven't seen Taskmaster, which is shameful, really, because I've had friends of mine that have been on it and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen it. Do you know what I love? RuPaul's Drag Race, the UK version, absolutely brilliant. Not a joke, just a fact. It's great. Like, I love it. I think that we really needed that. Me and my housemates had a ritual every Thursday night of watching that. Also, Twitter is awful, and I'm terrible at the internet, because like I'm, you know, like I was born 29 years BT before TikTok. Like, I have no capability of that kind of sphere. But basically, there was this dog, and I still think about this dog all the time, a dog who had a ball in his mouth that had a picture of teeth on it, so that it looked like he had this big cheesy grin. And that was doing the rounds at one of the lockdowns, and that really got me through. It's this laughing dog. It was so brilliant.
That's very amazing. Funny. You can polish material as much as you like, but actually, you just got to get to the nugget of it. It's a ball in a mouth.
I think the internet peaked at cat videos. We should have stopped there. Like,
what about you, Ro? What have you seen in the last year that's really made you laugh?
Well, I don't know if it's the last year, but Douglas by Hannah Gadsby.
Oh, okay.
That was brilliant. I mean, she starts the show with a dog made of crayons, so that's kind of like your laughing dog. But yeah, that was brilliant.
It's an amazing show. And Tash, what about you?
I'm just remembering. I remembering when we hit the first lockdown and everybody was sending comedy videos to each other, like constantly. We were all receiving them like loads. I can't think of one that stood out, but I just remember I did feel kind of proud to be British, that we were like all going through this, like what the hell's going on in the world, and you'd still receive something funny. I mean, I've been watching, and I'm quite surprised, sort of a lot of Would I Lie to You, because I just think Lee Mack is hilarious. And I think you do, you know, like Netflix just has become the biggest subject that I talk about with my mates, because everyone's like, what else is there to watch? What can I watch? I've just blitzed that series, blah, blah, blah. Motherland keeps popping up of a comedy that keeps coming up. I haven't yet got through it, but I'm just about to start. But yeah, that's getting a lot of praise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Rich, the podcast, which we touched on before, Insane in the Membrane, have you found that the conversations have changed as time's gone on in this last year?
I think what was interesting is that the people that you see as successful, even they were, everybody, this whole last year really leveled everything. Everybody was on the same, on the same level. I had Heston Blumenthal on, and I had Romesh on and Rob Beckett and all these people. And they were all saying the same thing. Like you see them on the TV but they were all in their houses. And it really, they were talking about the fact, oh, you know, we do miss that being that we got, that choice was taken away, really. Even if you don't want to go to the shops, you don't want to go to the pub, to have the choice is still something that is nice to have. And that got taken away. We literally got shut in our houses and weren't allowed to go out. And so, yeah, I mean, Heston was in his lab in France. And even I know, which is probably the best place. It's like in Willy Wonka's factory. But even he said, you know, because of the choice get taken away, like, you know, he loves what he does, but now he's that's all he has. And you forget the little things, like being able to see people, going around to see family and friends, and the fundamentals that make us, that get us through.
Also, so, I wouldn't want to be stuck with Heston Blumenthal. No offense, but like, what a nightmare. Like, darling, I've made you some more snail porridge. I'm like, I'm okay, thanks.
This might be a sandwich, mate.
I mean, I like trying new things, but if it's every day and he's only got experimentation to get through life, that's going to be a challenge.
He worked with my ex, and that's how I got to meet him, and he loves a bag of Walker's salt and vinegar, so it's not all it's not all fog and mist and
I love that. I love just imagining him sat on the sofa with some ready salted crisps. That's just very humbling.
Yeah, that's it. That's his go-to. That's his comfort food.
That's hilarious.
Bangers and
mash. That's good to hear. Charlie, I suppose I'm asking, what are you looking forward to? Where you must be planning things and looking ahead now.
Yeah, what am I looking forward to? I'm looking forward to swimming. I'm going to a swimming pool really soon, and I've missed swimming a lot, and like certain things that I used to do that I haven't really done much of during this time, and seeing my friends and like being in nature is like my real sort of heart space stuff. And then I do have shows coming up as well that I am excited to get back to it, but quite nervous as well that like I've forgotten things, because I'd only been going for like about 3.5 years before this happened. So similarly to Rich, I felt a lot of kind of like, oh, all of those Edinburghs I was going to have and like stuff I was meant to be working on to like improve and like that route sort of went away. But now what I'm excited about is that there isn't such a ladder anymore, like that kind of constant machine of feeling like, oh, kind of like the story that we have about you go to school and then you go to uni and then you get this job. I think stand-up or any career has those little sort of cycles of what you should do. And I feel quite liberated now to be like, I'm not sure what the path looks like, but I know that writing and performing, and like writing really took off for me during this time and kept me going. And I feel like, oh, you know, maybe I've got some new passions and it might take a different shape to where I wanted to go. Maybe I don't have to do it in this linear route. And so that actually is something I'm really looking forward to, is like doing it my own way and thinking, oh, maybe I'll just feel it out and see what my career looks like.
That's really interesting. You quite often hear from comedians that say they've done Edinburgh for so and so many years in a row, and then they stopped and then they realized they didn't actually have to. They could, there was a choice. It didn't have to be that cycle.
Yeah, look, I really want to go to America when I'm allowed and do some gigs there, because my dad lives there. And like, that's always been a dream of mine, to do a road trip. So as soon as it's legal, I think I'm going to get a motorbike and go around America, which is such a sort of midlife crisis thing to say. But, you know, why not? This time has made me realise maybe I won't get a chance to do it if I wait.
It's one of those unknowns, isn't it? How hard is it going to be to hire a motorbike in LA? I just don't know whether everybody will have them or it's just you. Ro, obviously there's you know, gigs are going to start up again. Have you got ideas of gigs or shows or things you want to put on?
I have no idea. I'm still in the school funnel of, do you want to go to uni, do you not? I'm looking forward to binge watching TV in a cafe instead of at home, because that's a tiny bit less depressing.
I'm hoping to do a fundraising event at the Comedy Store and bribe Ro to do a few minutes there, which I think would be a wonderful experience. So Ro knows I do keep getting in contact with them to try this bit of comedy here, try this there, because you're very talented.
Thank you.
Well, excellent. I mean, let us know when that's happening, Tash. What about you, Rich? Have you got the Soho Theatre booked up for the next months instead?
We had the first one last night, and everybody was so pleased to be out. It was euphoric. At the end of it, there was everybody, and then afterwards we were talking outside and everybody was just happy to be back. But it's really interesting what Charlie said. I've gone through the same thing. You start in comedy and they go, right, well, you have to do it this way. And it never felt, I never felt right. I was like, well, I just felt like I was sort of hemmed into this, like, go to Edinburgh and do this and then that. And then, but yeah, just I've learned, just do your own thing. Just do gigs, do the gigs you want to do. If you want to do them, I'm doing some writing stuff with people, and follow your own path, which is something that I never thought I had a path before. I thought I was just kind of following the footsteps of everybody else, and now I've got all manner of gigs starting up, and we're going to be doing online things, and there's a podcast and a radio show, and just doing stuff and not worrying about what everyone else is doing. So it's been really liberating. So what Charlie was saying is absolutely the way to go. Get your motorbike and go around America. I've gigged in America. It's brilliant. I gigged in bananas.
Sat in traffic in LA by myself.
Living the dream.
Yeah. Route 66, baby.
No, I'm so up for it, man. And me and another comic talked about it. But also, I'd like to bring back the night that I started running. So before the lockdown, I was running like a night, like not all the time, but like every few months we used to run Crack Up Comedy Cabaret, which was in aid of Core Arts in Hackney. They're a really cool mental health charity, and we had a lot of mental health service users come, and it was such a cool night. Like, me and my mate used to host it in NHS Scrubs, and one of us would always be too depressed or anxious to do the show, and so we needed the audience to like help us start the show. So it always started in pandemonium. Like, I remember one time I was lying on the floor and someone was trying to give me CPR, and it turned out I was just depressed and I wasn't dying. And I needed like the whole audience to get me going. And then we used to book acts for that, sort of drag acts and comedy acts and musical acts, and that was like a little queer club in East London, and I just loved it. Like, it was small, it wasn't like a huge audience, but it was really kind of loyal. And I think it was a space where, you know, your course sounds so amazing, and I'm so glad that that's happening. And Ro, if I do the night, you have to come and perform.
Yeah,
that's great. because we need that.
In terms of material itself and the role of approaching mental health within the material, I mean, obviously, you can talk about whatever you want. That's the beauty of stand-up, I suppose, is you can pretty much say anything. But do you think, Rich, do you think it's important that mental health's one of the subjects on the table?
I think it's important. It is important that, I think it's important that we talk about it. I think it's important that we find ways to cope with it, to help each other. Rather, because it's like at the moment, everybody's sharing videos of the atrocities that's going on in Palestine, and you're like, yeah, all right, okay, that. But what does that do? What does that do? It doesn't help, really. You're just showing me what I already know is happening, which makes me feel even more helpless because I can't. What can I physically do? And that's the same with mental health. We can all talk about it, you know, and talk about, this is my version of it. That's your version of it, whatever. But I think we need to start talking about how we cope with our own, how we keep our own mental health healthy. Mm. Those are the conversations we should have, and again, like Charlie said, going back to her saying like, you follow your own path. It's the same with anything you do, like with comedy, with writing, you know. Different people do it in a different way. Some people sit and write for hours. Some people just have bullet points, and a lot of it's in my head, and I just kind of think all the time. I can't really sit and write. So, and like with mental health, looking after your mental health, find something that works for you. So you might want to go to the gym, or you might just go for walks, or you might just eat a little healthier, or, you know, don't beat yourself up when all you want to do is curl up in a ball and watch Netflix, eating a, you know, big handful of minstrels, you know, that. Give yourself a break. You know, you can go to the gym, you can go and eat minstrels. You know, it's what, as long as you're, you know, happiness is too much. That's extra. What you're looking for is contentment. And contentment is when you kind of look around and you go, oh, actually, I've got some lovely people around me. Work's all right. Things are going okay. Yeah, this is all right. You know, we're struggling. We're striving for this extra thing, which is happiness is more chemicals, and it's extra. What you want is content. You want to look around and go, actually, yeah, this is all right. There's toxic people that are in my life. I don't spend time with them anymore. You know, we're too busy trying to please the wrong people sometimes. And I think, you know, just try, talk about that. Talk about how you're coping, how you look after your own mental health. And then other people will be inspired to talk about how they take care of their mental health. And, you know, I think these are the conversations we need to have. So, you know, yeah, we could talk about it all day, but it doesn't really get us anywhere. So we need to talk about the next step. Like, okay, how do we recognize the triggers? How do we, you know, that's the other thing as well, because when depression hits you, it hits you, and it hits you hard, and it's debilitating, it's really weird, because it flattens you, and you're just laying on the bed staring at the ceiling. And you're like, I don't know why I'm feeling like this today. Because yesterday I was buoyed and I was running around, and now I'm not. I don't know. It's those conversations we need to have, rather than just talking about it. We need to talk about how we deal with it. You know, mm-hmm. how we get ourselves out of that.
I agree, Rich, because I think there's something about like everybody's, the buzzword is like awareness, but I kind of feel like provide for services, like please provide more for services, which is why we started our night, because we were like, we want to raise money for a local service, like someone who's actually doing something. And that charity is really great, because they do a lot of like therapeutic art activities for people who are in that interim stage. Because I used to work at Homerton Hospital, it's a lot of people who were sort of connected there that would go, and then you'd have stuff like a space to actually work from. Because I think, I mean, I remember a bit of my material. I think I spoke about kind of, because you're talking about like it being in the material, but I used to talk about how I once cried for the whole length of the Northern Line, and how I didn't get a tissue out until High Barnet. And I saw that as like a real strength. And like now I'm way more like, get the tissue out at Tufnell Park. Do you know what I mean? Like, be nice to yourself. Like that's what Rich is saying, right? It's like, we have to think about what we do and how we show up for ourselves, but also how we show up for other people. So for me, the reason why it's important in comedy is probably not as important as funding mental health services, And you know, we can go on about awareness, but that's what needs to happen. But I think it does provide a space for community and honesty. And I think community and honesty is really important for mental health, because then we have a space where we can talk about how we manage it personally ourselves and together, because we are a community of people going through it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And in terms of services and funding, yeah. I mean, clearly it's right. And it was an issue. Funding was an issue and resources 18 months ago, let alone now. Something very clearly needs to change on that. Tash, have you got more courses coming up?
Have I got more? Yes, we're going to be working with Mind in Barnet, and we've just connected with Mind in Islington, who are interested. So we've just got to find the funds. I just got to nick some money from somewhere to put it on. But I'm so passionate about this course now. I mean, I've really noticed in people, they do choose to talk about the challenging stuff, and it's such an achievement. Last year, the oldest client we had was 75, decided to talk about his childhood, really, really difficult childhood, just talking about how ugly he was as a child. His family hated him. He said his mother was slapped in the face when he was born rather than them slapping him on the bum. And he was so scared to do this comedy. And then he did it. And he said to me, it really closed a chapter of my life just doing this course, you know, in a positive way. So, yeah, I'm really doing my best to promote and raise the funds. I do have to say, I know I said to Ro that Ro could do, I don't know if you've got time to do
absolutely,
like 1 minute,
absolutely.
You haven't forgotten, but yeah. I mean, Ro's a pure example of strength and courage in what you chose to write about. But yeah, we'll definitely be doing more.
Ro, do you want to give us
so
a bit of a
it is me talking about stuff with no reference to how to deal with mental health whatsoever. My internet connection is also unstable, a bit like me. So let's see how that goes. Hi, I identify as non-binary. Some people think I identify as Ed Sheeran, which makes me identify as really pissed off. I'm 18, if you hadn't guessed. Why would you guess? I look about 4. I'm turning 19 in November, and I've already got my date booked at the kids' soft play area, the one with all those colourful plastic balls to make up for the pair that I don't have. Being non-binary and ginger is a recipe for getting asked really stupid questions, like, does the carpet match the drapes? I mean, yes, but... why are you asking me about furniture? My therapist always feels better about her life after talking to me. She's my 9th therapist, and we get on really well. But she gets a bit funny when I talk about my ex-therapists. She keeps wanting to know how long we were together, who left who. She's so paranoid. I told her they were just casual relationships. None of them were long-term. Not like you. Talking of therapy, I spent time in a psychiatric ward. It was great. I finally found some normal people. Inedible food, unwatchable DVDs. I learned that the wall around the place is just to stop the staff from running away. But it did get 5 stars on TripAdvisor. They did. Yeah. One day, the nurses raised the alarm. Oh, my God, there's a kid on the fence. Yeah, that's me. See, I was sitting on the fence because I was trying to escape, but I took one look at the streets of Newham and decided I'd be better off staying in. They did set me free in the end, just in time for COVID. Thank God I didn't miss the show. I've been Ed Sheeran. You've been great. Thank you for watching.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Ro. That was brilliant. And thank you, Charlie, Tash and Rich as well. It's been a really good session, and thank you for joining us today, and all the best for the for the coming months, whatever it holds.
Oh, thank you, and for you too.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And Mark, that was amazing. Kick-ass set. Loved it.
Thanks to Charlie, Rich, Tash and Ro for joining us. Hit subscribe. We'll be back soon.